Talk Radio 790 KABC. It's Peter Tilden, joined by Ed Ring, Executive Director at the California Policy Center. How you doing, Ed?
Fine. Thank you very much, Peter.
Explain what the California Policy Center is and what it does, like what your day is like at the California Policy Center.
Well, sure. We're a think tank here in California that looks at free market solutions to policy issues in the state. And the two things we look at the most are financial health and quality education. We think those are very nonpartisan issues where we're hoping that a consensus can form in California to really be more decisive about getting better in both of those areas.
All right, and I want to address that in a minute, but I see also on your bio here you previously worked as a consultant for startup companies in the Silicon Valley. Is that correct?
I spent about 15 years in the Silicon Valley, usually as a CFO.
I just want to ask you something about that and then get into the gist of this, which is about CalPERS being so underfunded and the presumptions that the people who manage those funds make about what it's going to earn. But having been in Silicon Valley, you know, I see the news stories about Apple, that Apple's not doing so well. Their computers aren't selling what they were. The watch may have been underestimated. And most of their sales are driven by the iPhone, and a lot of people already have the iPhone, so they're looking at China to expand their iPhone market. But I always wondered, when you're investing in Silicon Valley companies, how they really determine the value of a company in Silicon Valley, because they seem to be so overvalued. And like a company like Apple, when Steve Jobs dies, how do we even know that they have the next brilliant idea in the pipeline, or that the iPhone kind of was it? Now they're going to have other competitors because the marketplace is not stagnant. How do people value those companies? How do you know what's coming from Apple? How do you know if they have the next brilliant idea?
Well, that's a big question. The companies in the Silicon Valley are, you know, run the gamut from startups with no revenue to companies like Apple that are awfully mature companies. And when you get that big, when you're as big as Apple's gotten, it's not going to be the kind of growth stock that you're going to see with a company that's a startup with amazing potential. When a company's doing billions or tens of billions in annual sales, it's harder to double than when a company's doing a few million. So with Apple, you have to look at are they going to be able to maintain their sales and have moderate growth, and look at their earnings and look at their dividends. But to look at Apple as a high-growth stock, I think, is a mistake that might go back to the early days of the Silicon Valley when all these companies were startups. But now that we've got really established, mature companies in the Silicon Valley, we have to analyze them that way.
But does it worry you that somebody gets up in the morning and goes, boy, the Apple stock's at $300. It's a good, solid company, like a Fortune 500 company. But we don't know that behind the scenes, again, that they're being outgunned technologically by a lot of other companies, and they're not Apple anymore. You know, does that bother you?
Well, it bothers me, but it would bother me about any mature company that's still in a very competitive market. They come and go, and to stay on top of a market and to be the technological leader and innovator for decades is unusual. So I don't have any better idea than anyone else, certainly, about what Apple's future is, but I come right back to the fact that these are mature companies and competitive businesses, and they may or may not be able to stay on top of that market.
Yeah, it makes me very worried, especially seeing what the global economy is doing today.
Sure.
And the fact that China's not sending me bank statements, I don't know how they're doing. Last I checked, they don't tell us how they're doing. So we're kind of guessing about their economy, but it sure looks like they're having, just like you said, Apple, they're having growth issues right now, too.
They sure are. You know, the opposite of transparency is opacity. And I would say that based on everything that we're able to learn about China's banking system, it is kind of opaque. And there could be some real problems with collateral collapsing and liquidity problems over there. No one really knows. It's a risky situation.
The other thing, Ed, and like I'm using you, like the Eskimo uses the whole animal, I'm using Ed Ring, Executive Director at the California Policy Center, for the whole animal. I'm not that bright, and I'm not a guy who's invested money that brilliantly, okay? I invest in toilet paper and oranges right now and college educations for kids, my kids. But when I read that Spain, Portugal, Greece, all these countries were in trouble, Puerto Rico was having trouble as far as going to bankrupt a year ago, and there are all these austerity measures in Europe, and it does involve the global economy and the health of the global economy, they didn't just get better in the last 6 months. It's still kind of where it was then, correct?
Yeah, we're kind of papering over all of this. You know, we're at the end of a credit expansion that you could argue has lasted at least 30 years globally, if not longer. You know, credit expansion is caused by lowering interest rates and making it easier and easier for people to access credit. And we've borrowed our way to not all of our prosperity, but some of the what you would call unsustainable economic growth we've seen over the last few years. It's unsustainable because it's been stimulated by borrowing. And the problem is, you know, in America, the interest rates are now at zero. The Federal Reserve rate, I think it went up that quarter point, but it's still less than half of 1%. There's no elbow room left. Credit expansion in the United States, it got to all debt, not just federal debt, but all debt, is now 350% of GDP.
Wow.
And it's been plateaued, though, at 350% of GDP for the last 7 years, this whole bull market. It's not growing anymore. They can't lower interest rates anymore. They haven't figured out how to, and they shouldn't. You know, we've basically reached the point where we have as much debt as we're going to get, you know, and you can put some of it on the Fed balance sheet, and that's really if you want to look at the whole animal, Peter, the Federal Reserve's ability to buy Treasury bonds and create liquidity in the American economy that way really hasn't been tested, because everybody's trying to devalue their currency all around the world. The American economy remains the strongest economy. You can call it the least sick or the strongest, however you want to put that. The American economy is so strong relative to other countries that we can print money. That's the big unanswered question. That's the uncharted territory we're in right now.
Which is frightening. It's kind of frightening, and you see that why the market is doing what it's doing. And we're going to take a brief break. When we come back, that kind of leads us into CalPERS being underfunded, and the word that used in the headline of the story is unrealistic, and can it save itself? And you sound like a really smart guy. Who made it very simplistic for everybody to understand what's going on in the global market. I want to talk about how that relates to our underfunded pensions when we return on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
790 KABC has dependable traffic when you need it most.